The question today is, what is God like? This is number 8 as far as the 8th part of this question. To know what God's like, the best way to do is to look at His names, because His name reveals His person, His character, how He operates, how He works. Just like the Hebrew culture, the name man named something reveal how his character and his person. For instance, Jacob was named such because he was a surplanner, a trickster, a conniver, and a schemer. But his name was changed to Israel, which means Prince with God. So we looked at God as Elohim, which means the strong one. In the beginning, God, the strong one, able to redeem, and He's able to redeem fallen man. We've looked at Him as Jehovah. Jehovah is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and that's the one who is the self-existent one who wants to reveal Himself to man, and does reveal Himself to man if man will allow Him to, as God enables Him to. Also, we've looked at Him as the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one, the Almighty, is what's translated in the Bible. And that tells us that He's the one who pours Himself in the lives of believers. Now, believers are those who have not yet even saved. The seekers, those who believe God enough, like Abraham did, to leave the Ur of Chaldees, wasn't saved for 41 years later. And yet he's called a believer. He had faith, which means he was a believer. And the Bible says if we walk in the steps of faith of Father Abraham, we're blessed. And I'm thankful for that. But he pours himself. He's the multi-breasted one who has enough bottles to go around, and there's no runts in his litter. Now, Abraham had problem, of course, believing the promise that God gave him. And as a result, he come to a place in Genesis 15 when Jehovah revealed himself to him again. And he said to him, Lord, Adonai, which is the word that we used yesterday, we dealt with yesterday, that means complete submission and commitment between God and His people. And therefore, there was that commitment. And when we add up all these names, when we add up Elohim, and these other names all point to Elohim and Jehovah, but when we add up all these names and put them all together, we know it's fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament time, He is in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But we can say, as we put all these names so far together, we can say what Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say that. Now, another name today I want to deal with is El Elyon in Genesis chapter 14, verse number 18 through 20. And this is, of course, where Abraham was, where he had come to that place that he had fought the battle with Chaldeomer and won back the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, who were carried off captive. And he coming home with the spoils of the battle. And by the way, still lost at this time. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 18, he met Melchizedek, king of Salem, and brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, talking about Abraham, blessed him and said, or the Melchizedek blessing Abraham, he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God with which He hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and He gave him tithes of all. But you notice here it refers to the Most High God. That is Elyon, and that's translated 31 times in the Old Testament. It corresponds to a Greek New Testament word, which is used 9 times, of hupistos. And that doesn't mean much to us, I know, in a lot of ways, but it's still translated there, the Most High God. It's a word of, it communicates the idea of exaltation and indescribable majesty. For instance, how can you describe our Lord, who with the span of His hand, Isaiah 40 said, put the stars out in space? How are you going to describe that? Verse number 19 said there that He's possessor of the heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 14. And so it's the word is used when you just can't describe God. In essence, what you're trying to say, you can say the Most High God or the Most High. And this revelation produced whenever He was revealed Himself here as the Most High God, or El Elyon, to Abram. It produced a remarkable impression upon Abraham that caused him to give tithes of the spoils to Melchizedek, and it caused him to reject the king of Sodom's offer. See, in verses 21 through 23, and I'll not read those, of Genesis 14, the king of Sodom said, I'll give you all the spoils of, that you took. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to say I don't want anything because I'm afraid that the people will say that I've made Abraham rich. He didn't want that. So you see, this revelation of El Elyon to Abraham, even though he's a lost man at this time, caused him to pay tithes, caused him to reject the king of Sodom's offer. Now, you know intellectually and yet not be saved. You know God intellectually. You can even have God speak to your heart and show you some things and answer your prayer. A lot of people don't believe that, but Acts chapter 10 is proof of that. And if you need the information on that, just please contact us. We'll be glad to get you some information on that. But as possessor of heaven and earth, you see, it was the prerogative of the Most High to distribute the earth among the nations according to whatever principle He chose. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 8, He said, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He did that, of course, as Moses has said He's going to divide the nation. Now, the same is true in Gentile prophecy. In book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse number 17, we find that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he's telling Daniel this dream. He tells him about, and of course, this is the dream that he had about how really he was going to be put out to pasture and for 7 years and have to eat grass like an oxen and stay out there in the pasture because of his pride. He didn't fully understand that. His magicians and people of the city of Babylon couldn't interpret it for him. So he come to the place that he called Daniel in and tells Daniel this dream that he had. But he says this as he finishes telling him that dream in Daniel 4:17. He said, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will and setteth up over it the basis of men. And that was Himself, was the basis of men. But He's telling Daniel what God said, but He's referring to here as the Most High God, as possessor of heaven and earth. The Most High God has and exercises authorities in both spheres, as Nebuchadnezzar testifies to it at this time. Now, of course, he also testifies in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, after the situation. He says, after he went through what he did, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. As after he'd been 7 years out there eating grass like an oxen, and his hair had grown, his nails had grown like claws on the eagle and whatnot. You read that in the book of Daniel chapter 4. Because of his pride, he had to get out there and do that. But when he testified now, he said, I've lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. I want to ask you a question. How long, what are we going to have to go through before we lift up our eyes unto heaven? In other words, Nebuchadnezzar had to go through a lot. But he also testified, and he said, mine understanding returned unto me. Folks, I want to tell you, you've got to have some understanding to be saved. Now, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't saved when he went through this, but God gave him understanding, and he was saved, I believe, after that point of time. But he said, and I bless the Most High. In other words, describing God as best he knew how there, testifying the Most High God. The idea of exaltation and indescribable majesty and is worthy of all adoration and praise. That's what he's doing. I bless the Most High and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all, verse 35 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? How would you like to try to stay or stop the hand that put the stars out in space with just a span of his hand? Well, he said, none can do it because he's the Most High. Indescribable majesty, if you please. Psalm 7:17 said, I'll praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. El Elyon is the name used there. In other words, it means adoration and praise and the supreme, highest, the Most High, El Elyon. And that's what our Lord's like. And that name portrays that, what he's like. Now, there's another name that's a Hebrew word that's Y-A-H-H or Yah. Or it's also pronounced in the English Bible or spelled in the English Bible, Jah, J-A-H. In other words, That's translated the Lord with a, by the way, it's Lord with a capital L-O-R-D, all caps, like Jehovah, because it's a sacred, but Jah is a sacred name of the Lord. Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. What is his name? Well, he goes on to tell us, extol him and rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Now, we know that really it's a contracted form of the word of Jehovah, but it's translated, therefore, Jehovah, or Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, 45 times. And, of course, that's translated in Psalms 150, that, where he said, praise ye the Lord. And it's all caps. And now, that if we look at that, that word mainly is used in the Psalms, Jah is mainly used in the Psalms and in passages of praise and adoration, such as this Psalm 150, where it says, praise ye the Lord. Now, the word praise is a word which means, is pronounced as best I know how, Hallel, H-A-L-A-H. And that word means to be clamorously foolish. In other words, it means to get beside yourself about the Lord. And the word Lord is Y-A-H-H, and you put the two together. What have you got? Hallel-Yah. Hallel-Yah. Does that sound like anything you've heard before? When he said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's what Psalm 150 basically is saying. So the word Yah or Jah also forms part of several personal names in the Bible, such as Elijah, J-A-H, meaning God is my Jehovah, or that Lord is my Jehovah, but there's the word Jah. In other words, and the Lord likes us to praise him, to call those names and lift him up as Jah, Hallel Yah, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord because he's worthy. May the Lord help us to see that these names, really, what's our Lord like? These names show what he's like, and the main names is what we're recapping from time to time. But the word as far as the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is the word for Jehovah, and he's the one who wants to reveal himself to mankind. And Elohim is the word for God in Genesis 1:1, which means the strong one, able to redeem man. God Almighty is one who pours himself in the lives of believers. And these are all summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we submit to him as Adonai. Lord, I want to submit to you, even though I don't fully understand. Even though I'm incapable in my own self to do so, help me, Lord, that I might submit to you as my Lord and Savior. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.